Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
An Erio's original.
Each week, we decide who's to blame for a historical tragedy. And each week, you tell us if we got it right. My name is Rebecca Delgado-Smith, and this is The Aftermath. The Aftermath. Hey, everyone. Thanks for tuning into this episode of The Aftermath. Today, we're speaking with guest expert Rachel Hanel. Rachel is an associate professor of creative writing at Minnesota State Mankato and author of Not the Camilla We Knew, One Woman's Path from Small Town America to the Symbionese Liberation Army. Let's hear what she has to say about the kidnapping of Patty Hearst. Rachel, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure.
So I would like to start off by asking you to kind of set the stage for us. It's the 1970s. What is the political climate in the United States and particularly in California?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a very fraught time. So at this point, we're coming out of the 1960s, which was just really a radical time. There's a lot of protest going on. Clearly, the Vietnam War is an issue. There's issues about racial equality, gender equality, all sorts of social issues, class status, economics. So in the 1960s, we had a lot of protest movements. And that era really started to fade out toward the end of the 60s and early 1970s. The Vietnam War was still going on. We had made some progress regarding race and gender and class. So a lot of the quote unquote hippies of the 1960s, I guess, grew up a little bit and they said, okay, we've done our work. Some things are changing. So let's move on with our lives. But there was still a group by the early 1970s that was not satisfied yet. And so they said, hey, you know what? There's still a lot of problems here that we need to take care of. And this really was centered in California, particularly in the Bay Area. So if you were on the far left, the Bay Area was the place to go. You still were finding a lot of, I would say, even more extreme revolutionary thought at that time.
Wow. So can you give us a little backstory on Donald DeFries? And who was he before he was radicalized? Or and how did he become the leader of the Symbionese Liberation Army?
Yeah, Donald DeFries was a prisoner in the California prison system. By all accounts, in the 1960s, he's kind of a petty thief, kind of a small-time criminal. It sounds like he may have been a police informant, but at one point, he was arrested for theft and was sent to jail. And the prison system at that time, it's kind of hard to think about it now, but there was a movement within prisons where outsiders could come into the prisons and basically join prison groups. So in Vacaville, where Donald DeFries was, there was a group called the Black Cultural Association. And a lot of those leftists that I was talking about that were living in the Bay Area decided that they wanted to be part of this group as well. So we had a lot of young college students would go into the prison and actually join in on these meetings. And so that's where Donald DeFries got connected with some of the radicals in the Bay Area.
And can you help us further understand the SLA? Who were its members and what were their ideological beliefs? What were they fighting for, essentially?
Yeah, if you look at some of their beginning manifestos, they were really prolific writers. So they were kind of always writing these manifestos and communiques. At the surface, it would be things that we would agree with. They wanted equality. They wanted racial equality. They wanted gender equality. They wanted class equality. They wanted a much more just equal society in general. So that all sounds well and fine. But they really took it a step further where they said, okay, we're not getting this right now. We are willing to do whatever it takes to try to get there. And if that means taking up arms and having a violent revolution to get to this point, that's what we're willing to do.
How do they then somehow get involved in the killing of Marcus Foster, the Oakland school superintendent? What did they intend to raise awareness for with this act, and how did it backfire?
Yeah, it really is such a bizarre situation because this is coming from a group where racial equality is a huge thing. And Marcus Foster is a Black school superintendent, and they decide to target him, though. The beef that they had with Marcus Foster and the Oakland School District was the issue of student identification. So there was a movement in the schools to have student IDs, basically to let students on campus who were only students, because there had been some instances where non-students were coming into the schools and causing trouble and causing violence. So they said, well, we need student IDs. We're going to post police officers at the door. I mean, today it sounds perfectly normal, but this was the early 1970s. So some people thought that that was a way to maybe identify more troubled students. And they were really concerned, the SLA was really concerned that this was the beginning of the school to prison pipeline. So that was their major problem that they had with the Oakland School District and Foster in particular.
And once they do kill Marcus Foster, what happens next? How do people respond?
Yeah, so it didn't make any sense to people, you know. By all accounts, Marcus Foster is this great superintendent. He had come from Philadelphia. He had made major strides in the Philadelphia School District. He's coming to Oakland. He cares deeply about schools and about children and helping them succeed. So there were so many people in the Bay Area that said, this does not make any sense. So any kind of support the SLA had hoped to garner through an action like this completely dissipated. Very, very few people were taking them seriously after the murder.
Then how does Patty Hearst become the group's next target?
So it sounds like in the prison system where we had the prison groups, that they had been talking about, okay, if we want to do any kind of revolutionary statement, we should kidnap somebody who is well-known. This had worked for other far-left groups around the world. So the 1960s, late 1960s, early 1970s, we're seeing a lot of revolutionary groups worldwide. And kidnapping is kind of one of these major actions that people are undertaking, not really in the United States, but elsewhere. And so they basically had a list of people, hey, if we're going to kidnap somebody who has money and who is well known, that we can bring attention to our cause. They had this list, and Patty Hearst was a name on that list.
Could you give us kind of like a quick overview of Patty Hearst's life before the kidnapping? What was she like? And we know her, she comes from a very wealthy family, but what was she like?
Yeah. So by all accounts, it sounds like Patty is kind of the rebel of the Hearst family. So the Hearst family is very wealthy. They are part of this huge media empire at the time. Her parents, Randolph Hearst and Catherine Hearst, are kind of from, they're from old money. So they have that kind of old fashioned attitude. If there was American royalty, the Hearst would be American royalty. And her parents are fairly conservative. Patty comes from a family, I think, of five children, and she is kind of known as the rebel. She's rebelling against this money, this old money, this old way of life. And at the time of her kidnapping, she's just 19. So she's kind of has that teenage rebellion streak going on.
So it's February 4th, 1974. Patty Hearst is kidnapped by SLA members. How did they do it? Could you walk us through the how the kidnapping played out?
Yeah. So Patty is living with her fiance, Stephen Weed, who is a graduate student in philosophy at UC Berkeley. He had been her teacher. So even she's known Stephen Weed for a few years, and he was her high school teacher. So at this point, they're engaged. So they're living in an apartment in Berkeley. So a couple of people, I think three people from the SLA, knock on the door. They give kind of this story that they're having car trouble, and they just bust into the apartment. They beat up Stephen Weed, and they grab Patty, and they take her, and they take her kicking and screaming, and put her into the trunk of a car and drive away.
Now, once she's taken, what is the SLA's next move? How did the authorities and the Hearst family hear about the kidnapping and then respond?
Yeah, so they put out a communique, and they say, you know, here's this person that we've taken. She has a lot of money, or the family has a lot of money. So it seems like, well, they'll ask for a ransom. They want to have money to fund their cause. And they do ask for money, but they ask for money to feed people in California, because again, they're thinking about equality, they're thinking about fairness. There's a lot of people going hungry. And so initially they wanted $400 million from the Hearst to feed people in California. Anyone could, you know, walk up and request food from this massive donation. But clearly that's a lot of money. So Randolph Hearst comes back and basically he says, well, I can give you $6 million.
Wow. What are the conditions of Patty's captivity? And when do things start to change within the group?
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, in the beginning, she is literally a captive. She is kept in a closet. She's blindfolded. Various members of the SLA come into the closet. They talk to her about, you know, their revolution, their plans for revolution. I mean, she's just getting it full scale. Definitely, there's some sexual assault going on as well during this time. So she's kept in the closet for, I think, maybe 3 or 4 weeks. They decide that she sounds like she's willing to talk to them or to think about, you know, joining their group. And so they let her out of the closet. They take her blindfold off. She finally gets to meet everyone. And then I think it's on April 3rd, they give her a choice, or they say they give her a choice. And they say, okay, you've been with us. You know, we've gotten some money from your parents. We can let you go. So if you want to go, you're free to go. Or if you like what we've been telling you and you want to be part of the revolution, you can stay with us. And so that's when she made her famous declaration of, I've decided to stay and fight.
What is Patty's relationship with the members of the group, particularly DeFries? And I'd love to know more about Camilla Hall, who mm-hmm. is the subject of your book.
Yeah. So Patty wrote a book in 1982 about her story. So there's certain members of the group that she does get to know better than others, members that are in the beginning coming to the closet very often, and then after that, ones that she's becoming closer to or getting to know. One would be Angela Atwood, definitely the men of the group. So with DeFries and Bill Harris, sounds like they are partaking in these assaults of Patty. Wow. Also, a young man named Willie Wolfe is part of the SLA. And so when Patty ultimately goes to trial, this relationship between her and Willie Wolfe really gets a lot of scrutiny. And so it's looked at, it's kind of portrayed as a love story, as kind of sick as that is. There was a lot of question at the time of her trial. Did she really love Willie Wolfe? Did they really develop a relationship? But there's other members of the SLA that she appeared to not know very well. And Camilla Hall would be one of them. In this entirety of Patty Hearst's memoir, Camilla is mentioned very, very infrequently. So, you know, I wrote this book about Camilla, and by all accounts, Camilla is just really a very kind of minor member of the SLA, which brings up a lot of questions of why she was even involved.
Now, what was the purpose of the bank robbery where Hearst is famously caught on a surveillance tape holding a firearm? Was this her coming out moment? And how did they prepare her for this?
It was her coming out moment. It occurred just 10 or 12 days after she said, "I've chosen to stay in part of this group," and they needed money. So they were able to get some money from Randolph Hearst, but that was to feed people. But they did need money to, you know, they're renting a series of apartments. And so they do need money to live and rent places and buy food and that kind of thing. And so they decide to undertake this bank robbery of the Hibernia Bank. And yeah, Patty shows up with a semi-automatic rifle. And it sounds like all of this time that she's been kept captive, and the entire group as well, they are consistently hour after hour, day after day, training in these hideouts that they're living in. They're training with their guns, trying to unload and load and practice, you know, fake shoot and that kind of thing. And so she is part of that training. They're showing her how to use a gun.
And at what point does Hearst go from being a kidnapping victim to a fugitive on the run? I guess this is in the eyes of the public.
Yeah, definitely. Well, after the bank robbery, for sure. You know, she that's the point where she shows up on all of the FBI wanted posters, that there's kind of little sympathy for her at this point, where before it seemed like, oh, you know, this poor girl, she's a victim of a kidnapping. But now here she's showing up with a gun and she's pointing a gun at people. And now she's on the FBI most wanted list. Like, they want to find her. They want to get her. So definitely it seemed like public opinion swayed at that point.
How did she attempt to save the Harris couple and lead authorities to the SLA hideout and the subsequent shootout with members? This is obviously much later. How did that all go down?
Yeah, so about a month after the bank robbery, the SLA, they get to LA. They want to leave the Bay Area. They feel like, you know, the cops are really closing in. So they go to Los Angeles and they're working in teams of three. At this point, there's only 9 people in the SLA. So they're in teams of three, and Patty is with Bill and Emily Harris. They are sent to go get some supplies at a sporting goods store. And so they do that. They pay for their supplies. Bill Harris, for some reason, decides to steal a pair of socks. So he puts a pair of socks in his pocket. The clerk sees this, chases him out of the store. Bill pulls out a gun against the clerk and they have a tussle. Patty's in the van waiting. She sees that Bill and Emily Harris are in trouble. So she does what she says she's trained to do in a situation like this. And she just starts firing her gun willy-nilly. Thank goodness nobody's hurt, but now these three people have to flee. So they flee, they abandon their van, they hijack a car. They're able to switch vehicles, but in that van is a parking ticket, and the parking ticket leads authorities to the hideout where the other 6 members are. And that's when there's a shootout with LA police at that point, May 17th, 1974, and 6 of the SLA members are killed in that shootout.
Who dies during that raid?
Yes. So Donald DeFries dies. 5 other members die, including Camilla Hall, Patricia Mismoon Soltisic, Angela Atwood, Nancy Ling Perry, and Willie Wolfe.
Wow. After the shootout, why doesn't Patty leave the group? This feels like it's her opportunity.
Patty had a lot of opportunities to leave. It seems like she had, yes, a lot of opportunities to leave. You know, she's not apprehended until 1975. So we're talking about another, you know, 16 months or so that she's on the run. She's alone a lot. She's completely alone. It's not like she's kept under lock and key this entire time by the Harrises. She really is able to kind of just live this, you know, free-ish type of life. They crisscross the country a couple of times. So when she does go to trial, that's really a major question during the trial that the jurors have of, why didn't you just leave? You had lots of opportunities to leave. And that just really led the jury to think that she really was a member of this group.
How does she eventually get caught?
So finally, after all of these months, the FBI is able to finally track them down. So at this point, they're back in California. They're in Sacramento. It took that long for the FBI to just finally find them. And so when they do find Patty, she's just sitting in an apartment. It's the morning. She's having coffee. She's just kind of relaxing at the door, you know, but then relaxing at the dinner table. But then the door busts open and there they are. This moment that she had really been waiting for this entire time happened.
Now, her defense claimed that she was a victim who suffered from Stockholm syndrome. Mm-hmm. Do you think that this is possible, or was she brainwashed? Do you think she was brainwashed during her time with the SLA, or had she actually been radicalized and joined the cause?
I think that's the million-dollar question. Yeah. And I mean, that really is the question that I think why the case of Patty Hearst remains so fascinating to this day, because it really is a mystery. And those of us who are familiar with this just still are pondering, could it really have been, you know, could she have been brainwashed, or did she actually believe in this cause? So definitely that was her defense, that she was brainwashed, Stockholm syndrome, but this is fairly new at the time. The Stockholm syndrome, the case that was named after, that had only happened in 1973. So it was only the year before that Patty was kidnapped. So it's relatively new. It's not really a legal defense, but her lawyer, Effley Bailey, decides to argue it anyway. But again, the jury's not buying it, because they just say, you know, but she had lots of opportunities to leave. She wasn't, you know, a captive, like a literal captive that whole time. So it was a very tough defense, and it just didn't work.
What became of the SLA and its members?
So after the shootout, really, there's only three members left. So it's the Harrises and Hearst, if you want to call her a member. They need help. So they go back to the Bay Area, and there were people who were always kind of loosely affiliated with the SLA, but they went back to these people and they said, wow, we really need help. We need to regroup. And so they were able to get another kind of cadre of members, but again, a very small number, maybe five or six more people. So that little group was the one that remained until they were captured, at least that some of them were captured in 1975. Then there was a few of them, the ones who weren't captured on that day that Patty was captured. They knew it was coming, and so they went into hiding, and many of them were living underground for 25 years.
Wow. 25 years.
Yep.
Now, this is a question that we ask all of our guest experts. At the end of the day, if you had to pick a person or thing, it could be a concept that you think is to blame for the kidnapping of Patty Hearst, who or what would that be?
Yeah. It's a good question. Well, I mean, certainly we have the SLA players, right? You know, they were the ones who did the kidnapping. But I think in terms of maybe more of a concept, you know, can we blame the Stockholm syndrome? Can we blame brainwashing? And there's many points of evidence that would suggest that. Like, it's completely not out of the realm of reason. And if I really had to maybe place odds on it, I still kind of have a hard time believing that Patty Hearst just completely switched and said, yeah, I want to be a revolutionary now. That seems a little far-fetched to me. So if I had to lean one way or the other, I would lean a little bit more to brainwashing, but maybe like a 60-40 odds or something like that.
That's as close of a sure odd, you know, percentage that we'll probably get on this case.
Exactly.
Well, thank you so much, Rachel, for helping us understand this very interesting case.
Yeah, thank you so much.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Glad you're doing something on it.
With us today, we have producer Clayton Early.
Hello.
So fascinating to talk to Rachel about this case and to get all the details about, you know, the bank robberies and then what was happening behind the closed doors.
Yeah.
I mean, it sounds terrifying.
Mystery.
It's very mysterious, but it's also so terrifying, right?
Yeah, it's fun. It was just really kind of interesting to hear her say, you know, like on a surface level, like what these people were kind of advocating for was so reasonable.
Yeah.
You know, like equality and, you know, social justice and whatever, like all of the things that like people are still fighting for today. But like the twist being like, and we are willing to go to such extreme measures to, you know, get what we want, that we're going to kidnap some famous person's child and make them pay for like money for people to eat and kill. Like it's like very specific and yet kind of like unthought of, like they haven't really thought at all.
Right. It's like, so like it makes sense. You're like, yeah, I'm along for the ride. Okay. Oh,
you want to kill someone?
Oh, no.
Oops.
But that's why I think it is so terrifying. Not just that she was kidnapped and assaulted too, and who knows what kind of, you know, kept in a small closet, and how traumatizing all of that is. But the fact that they didn't have that grand plan, to me is also pretty scary.
Yeah. It's scary because I feel like you see it today, like with groups that are much larger and much more organized who are willing to go to extreme measures to get what they want, you know, in terms of like the direction the country is going. It's amazing that a group this small, like, really did capture the nation's attention for, you know, a long time.
Yeah. I mean, it's still possible. Yeah. And so small. I didn't realize how small it was.
I know.
When Rachel was talking about how it was just like, in the end, there were three members.
Right.
And then they tried to get a few more who then
and
lived.
And one of which was a kidnapped member. Right? One of which was Patty herself.
Yes. You can't even really count her.
Wasn't like a founding
member.
No. It was someone who you stole and kind of indoctrinated into your cause.
And this other, like these people who are living underground for 25 years after this whole thing went down.
I don't know. It is so, the idea of being a 19-year-old person in a very volatile time, coming from the family that you come from, being a bit of like a rebel, and then suddenly being kidnapped and, you know, like assaulted sexually and isolated. Like, it's such a mind... I don't know the right word, but it's just like it's
trauma. It's true. Yeah. I mean, it's trauma at any age, but when it happens, I can only imagine when you're so young, you know, that you can't process it as, you know, you don't have that experience or that, I don't know. It's got to be terrifying.
I think what's interesting about it too is that the people who were her captors were like also kind of like they were like her contemporaries, right? Like they were young, like white kids who were like fighting for justice, and it wasn't like it was like this 19-year-old who was you know, kidnapped by a bunch of like old or like, you know, international like kidnappers with their own. It was like, I would imagine that, I don't even know where I'm going with this. I'm trying to like put my mind in the like her headspace and realize like the people who are kidnapping you, suddenly they're trying to be nice to you and getting you to join their cause. And you're like, oh, these people are not that different than me. Like maybe they do have something to say. You know, that's kind of sick and twisted, but.
Yes, sick. It is sick and twisted. And it's like you were saying earlier where I feel like, you know, she maybe could have agreed with a lot of their ideologies, except for the killing and
she went close. She could have. I mean, she almost did shoot that gun during the robbery.
I mean, that's the mystery, though. Did she actually believe that she needed, you know, it's one thing to believe in what they were fighting for, which is like justice, you know, for inequality, justice and equality.
Right.
But at what point do you go as far as to say, I will take up arms? And I don't know. We're going around in circles because this is still a mystery. I have to say, one of the things that popped out when we were talking to Rachel was that the 70s, I had never heard this put this way, but the 70s were a time where the hippies of the 60s grew up and were like, okay, it's time for us to move on. You know, like
we made some progress. Yeah. I'm feeling good about it.
Yeah. And it just reminds you to never feel like you can move on. You can never move on.
Yeah. You can acknowledge progress, but the fight marches on. We're always fighting for equality and for justice and for, you know, peace. It's we live in a volatile world.
Yeah. And it can always be taken away from you if you just say, all right, well, that's good, let me turn the, you know, on to the next chapter.
Well, because you may feel fine, but other guy and the other gal around the corner don't. So they're taking up arms and kidnapping people for their cause. And you're like, okay, I guess we got to deal with this.
The fight never ends. Mm-hmm. Okay. So remind us, Clayton, what did we end up sending to the alarmist jail for the Patty Hearst kidnapping?
So we threw the SLA
in
jail.
Okay, that's good.
And we gave a big slap to capitalism for kind of the, I think as a more broad, like creating an environment in America that the SLA was fighting against, you know.
Okay.
Equality, racism.
Yeah. You know, all that. I mean, I feel like capitalism and inequality, although you could say, you could argue that inequality is built into capitalism.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's a founding pillar. It's a pillar. We had a different, I feel like Rachel was thinking more about the outcome. Her response was more about the outcome, and we were focused on just literally what led us to the kidnapping.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Should we give brainwashing a backhand? I feel like it could really deserve that.
Yeah. I mean, people are brainwashed today. It's still happening. There, you hear enough garbage and you start to believe it. And
I mean,
like your reality.
And we've all been brainwashed to just accept capitalism, right?
So yeah, I think we can backhand brainwashing. Why not?
Okay. I feel like that's right. All right. Get ready. Capitalism, you got the big slap. But watch out. Brainwashing, you're getting the backhand. And this is why we talk to experts. you never know if
we are not and they are.
And you never know if you missed a backhand, you know.
Mm-hmm,
sometimes
it's true.
Sometimes we have big misses. But
it's true. But you know what? We're trying to, I think we attempt to redeem ourselves and to be as thorough as we possibly can.
Yes. And it's okay to say that you were wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Sometimes we're wrong.
Yeah, we're definitely often wrong. Stay tuned, because next week we're going to be discussing the Galveston Hurricane of 1900.
Powered by Acast.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.